And peace and love be multiplied. We embark this evening on Psalm 23. Everyone loves Psalm 23 for some reason or the other. It's actually the jewel of the Old Testament. If you ask 100 people what their favorite passage of Scripture is, the majority of those people, something like 75 or 80, will say Psalm 23. It covers a whole gamut of thoughts and doctrines as far as the Scripture is concerned. If your Bibles are open to that passage, let's read through it if we may. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We move from the pastor to glory in six verses. There are seven compound words for the names of God, actually, in the Old Testament. All seven of those are mentioned in Psalm 23. Every one of them are here. We'll look at them in, as we come through the verses. Tonight, if you will, and if your thoughts will stay with me, come to verse number 1, and let's just kind of look it over, if we may, tonight. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Those words have been quoted more than John 3:16. They're on the lips of every believer who's been in the house of God or been subject at least to the teachings of the things of God for any period of time. They're on his or her lips from time to time. I dare say that there'll never be a saint in heaven who has been in the household of faith for more than a few weeks whose lips have not formed the words of this first verse. The Lord is my shepherd. Jehovah, the God of glory, the Almighty God. If you were to want to title this psalm, there's numbers of titles you could give it, but one is the Almighty Shepherd. For here the Almighty God is in vogue. The Lord is my shepherd. This particular thought, Jehovah Rara, is before us. It is spelled R-H-H-I, but it's pronounced Rara, as though you were saying Rara. How about that? If you were, remember the little high school cheers and college cheers, and they'd always use the term Rara. Remember that? The Lord is my shepherd. There is none other. By the way, one of the greatest things you could say from your heart, not just your lips now. Your lips can say a lot of things your heart doesn't mean. But one of the greatest things you'll ever say is the Lord is my shepherd. It's a positive declaration of a permanent truth. The Lord is my shepherd. I like to think of this psalm, and by the way, though the whole herd or flock of sheep is before us, yet it's just one sheep that's speaking, and we're seeing this psalm through the eyes of one little sheep. David dons himself in sheep's clothing and writes this psalm as far as his mind is concerned. It is as though two sheep are talking. Sheep from one shepherd and another. And the sheep that's doing the speaking here is saying, the Lord is my shepherd, as if to say, who is yours? What's the name of your shepherd? Isn't it a great thing to be able to say, the Almighty God is my shepherd? Religion after religion around this world can say tonight that they have shepherds. But only the Christian faith can say, the Lord, the Almighty God is my rah-rah. He is my shepherd. I like to think of this when I come to that thought as rah-rah. What a joy, what a glory it is to experience this reality of the Almighty God being my shepherd. Yeah. It's one thing to have a shepherd. It's another thing to have a shepherd that knows what he's doing and loves his sheep. Yes. And in John chapter 10, Jesus said, loves his sheep so much that he gives his life for the sheep. In this psalm, we're going to try to unfold the heart of the shepherd as well as the heart of the sheep. And I think God wants us to see that. The heart of the shepherd is paramount, but the heart of the sheep is involved as well. For the heart of the sheep must bow to the hand of the shepherd. And the sheep in this circumstance is bowing at the knees of the shepherd and saying, the Lord is my shepherd. Now, there's one thing for sure. If the Lord is your shepherd, you don't need another. Right? As a matter of fact, if the Lord is ever your shepherd, you'll never have another. That's worth stopping to shout about right there, isn't it? You never have to worry about him turning us aside and selling us to another, sending us to another field. No, thank God. Well, hallelujah. Yeah. Just about lost it right there. Excuse me. Hallelujah. Bless the good Lord. As our shepherd, and we as his sheep, there is never a worry. That's why the next verse tells us, I shall not want. We'll talk about that later. But here the reality is that the sheep is so satisfied where he is, and the shepherd is so satisfied with the sheep, that this communion, this relationship, this fellowship is not going to be broken. Now, we hear often that our fellowship can be broken, and it can. I understand that. But as long as the sheep is recognizing the shepherd, that relationship will never be hindered. Because the shepherd will always recognize his sheep. I know my sheep, right? He knows us by name. I remember, I was thinking this afternoon when Ginger, you were with us, we were at the down near the Jordan River in Jericho, and several sheep herders, shepherds, were there, and their flocks were watering at the river, mingling together. And one of them walked off probably 150 yards and screamed something in Arabic. And a host of those sheep stuck their head in the air and took off after him. Well, I stood still the first time. But then another one done the same thing. Now, you think I'm emotional standing up here teaching you. Let me tell you something. When you experience something like that, my soul, the best war dance you ever seen was probably done right there near the walls of Jericho that had long since fallen down that day. Because it hit me like a ton of bricks. My sheep know my voice and they follow me. Glory. Those shepherds would move out, call something, and here those sheep would go. And I thought, glory to God. Look at this. How beautiful. When some of these truths, we teach them and we experience them as far as the typology is concerned, but some of these little things that just happen and you're there to see it happen, enforces these truths in your mind so much so that you'll never forget them. And it always means something to you. You'll never forget something like that. Sheep are not the most intelligent animal about. You know that, don't you? If you ever wondered why the Lord called us sheep, I want to tell you, because we're about as ignorant a clan as has ever come down the pike. Really? God's people. So help me, you wonder how in the world some of these people can believe such garbage and claim the name of Christ. How can they be so ill-informed and claim the name of Christ and claim Him as shepherd? And even those who seem to have some command of the Scriptures and the things of God still are so easily swayed hither, thither, and yon. Paul said it well in the Galatian letter. That outfit had been bewitched and befuddled. They were easily swayed. We're easily swayed. If we don't have a command of the Scripture, if our anchor isn't inside that veil, and if you don't keep the rope taut, do you understand what I just said to you? If you get a little slack in the rope, you're going to be blown hither and yon. Why do people sitting in the pews of churches where they're being given something that'll put some spiritual meat on their bones, why do they refuse to consume it? Why do we so willingly turn it aside, and it's like we've had enough and we push the plate back? We just don't want any more. The hunger ought to be there all the time. The Holy Spirit will never feed us anything that's not good for us. And the shepherd will always take us to the still waters. We'll see why later on. But the shepherd and his sheep, marvelous circumstance before us. As he being my shepherd and me being the sheep, I acknowledge my ignorance. I'm not capable of leading myself. I need someone to lead me. Can you realize that tonight? Will you do something with me right now? Will you just honestly admit that you need guidance? Why do you think the Holy Ghost came into this world? Did He come just to be here? No, absolutely not. But He came to remind us, to refresh us, to revive us. We couldn't do it on our own. The individual that thinks he can handle the situation is an ignorant individual. When someone says to me, "I can handle this," I wonder when the fall is going to come and how far it's going to be, because it is coming. You can't handle this. You are a sheep. You must have a shepherd. You must be led, because we don't know where we're going. Tell me, if you will, what are you going to do tomorrow? "Oh, Brother Lay, I'm going to get up and go to work," and so on and so forth. Are you? God may have a design otherwise for your life. You may not go to work tomorrow. You may even head out that way and not get there. You need a shepherd. You need a shepherd. Sheep are ignorant. Thusly, we must be led. My mind is blinded. Will we admit that? Will you admit that you have a blinded mind spiritually? And until God brought us alive, we had no spiritual knowledge whatsoever. How many folks do you know that know passages of Scripture and can quote passages of Scripture, but they have no knowledge of what it means? You'll find a lot of preachers that quote Scripture don't have a slightest idea what it means, what its context is, who it pertains to, and so on. We are blinded. We must have someone to lead us. Sheep have very poor vision. They depend on their ears rather than their eyesight. Isn't that something? A sheep left alone will be lost in 5 minutes. Not 10 minutes, 5 minutes. He don't know which way he's going, don't know what to do, don't know how to find water, don't know how to find the grass, don't know where the shepherd is until the shepherd speaks. Yeah. And when the shepherd speaks, that little sheep heads toward the voice of the shepherd. I don't know about you, but I want to always be just like that. When the shepherd speaks, I want to head toward the voice of the shepherd. Can I say this to you in reference to what I've said already? It's not important that you see. Are you aware of that? Signs are for the Jews. The just shall live by faith. It's not important that you see. It's important that you hear the Word of God. Let me say it to you like this. Paul said it. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now, again, and I know I've told you this, but I'm going to do it again because we never learn anything by being told once. That does not mean that I read to you the Scriptures and you believe. That's not what it says. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. There are two words in your Bible for the word Word. One is Logos. The other is Rhema. Logos is the written Word. That is not the word used in Romans 10:17. The word used in Romans 10:17 that I just quoted to you is the word Rhema. Rhema is the spoken Word of God. Now let me say that verse to you like this. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by God speaking. Hello? Now let me show you something. There is not a doctrine in the New Testament that does not have a picture in the Old Testament. I ask you, why did Noah believe? Because God spoke to him. Did he build an ark just because he wanted to build something? No. He built an ark because God spoke to him and faith drove him to do it. Why does he have faith? Because God spoke. Why did Moses bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? Because God spoke to him. Why did Abraham leave the Ur of the Chaldees? He didn't have a King James Bible, but God spoke to him. And Abraham is the father of the faithful. Do you understand what it means now? It doesn't mean that I read you the Word of God. It doesn't mean that you hear the preacher preaching. It means that you hear God speaking. That's when faith comes. Faith doesn't come because I say something. Faith comes because God says it to you. God can use my voice and speak to your heart. But it's the power of God that brings that faith, not the power of my voice and not the words I say, but the words God sends to your heart. Now you see, you know what faith is. Now you know what the root of faith is. The root of faith is God speaking. Now, how many times have you heard that preached otherwise? You go home tonight, take your Strong's Concordance, and see if I'm telling you the truth. See if that's not the word Rhema in Romans 10:17. It is God speaking that brings faith. Boy, that makes all the sense in the world now, doesn't it? That brings things to come. I mean, makes things happen in our hearts now that we never realized before. God speaks. God speaks. Why did Lazarus get up out of the grave? God spoke. Why did the widow of Nain's son get up? Because God touched him. One thing I like to always put in when I'm dealing with that thought is that there are two things dead men can do. Now, if I were to ask you, can a dead man do anything? You'd say no. But that's not so. There are two things a dead man can do. He can hear the voice of God and he can feel the touch of God. If that weren't so, you'd still be dead in your sins. For we are all dead in trespasses and sins. And what happens? God speaks. God speaks. And when God speaks, we come alive. Glory. But otherwise, as sheep, by the way, Some of you are going to faint, fall out, go ask mama. But a sheep is always a sheep. A goat never becomes a sheep. Never. God is not in the business of making sheep out of goats. But do you know most Baptists believe that? Are you aware that most Baptists believe that God takes goats and turns them goats into sheep? That's not so. God only brings sheep into the fold, not goats. Let me just say it to you like this. If you're saved tonight, there was a time you didn't know you were a sheep, but you were. You were a lost sheep, but you became a found sheep, and you were brought into the fold. Does that make sense? That makes the Bible make sense, doesn't it? Who did Jesus come to save? The lost sheep. It's only sheep. Say, well, who are sheep? God knows who they are. It's not my job to go out there and say, oh, you're a goat and you're a sheep. You're a goat and you're a sheep. No, no, no. That's not my job. My job is to preach the Word of God. And God will speak to the heart of the sheep and cause the sheep to believe. And most of those sheep, when they believe, will say, look what I've done. Look what I got. I like to hear these testimonies say, I went down front. Well, you could just as well step in front of a Mack truck. It'd do you about as much good spiritually. Going down front doesn't save you. Shaking the preacher's hand doesn't save you. But if God speaks to you, you will hear. Did you hear that? If God speaks to you, you will hear. Well, what if I don't want to? You didn't hear what I said. If God speaks to you, you will hear. Remember, at the outset of this passage, we said we are dealing with the Almighty Shepherd. If the Almighty Shepherd speaks to you, you're going to hear. Well, what if I don't want to hear? Don't make any difference if you don't want to hear. You're going to hear. But isn't it amazing how God makes us want to hear? You remember the Canaanites and the Perizzites and the Hittites and all of those ites that were in the land, and God told the children of Israel that He would drive them out. Now, they didn't want to go, but God sent hornets and they saddled up. See, God makes us willing. Whatever the circumstance, the Almighty will make you willing. I've often said to a lot of preachers, I said, listen, you take too much upon yourself. You think you can resist the Almighty God? Do you think sheep can resist the shepherd's will? Which way are the sheep going to go? They're going to go the way the shepherd guides them. Sure. By the way, the shepherd doesn't drive them. He leads them. There is a major difference in leading and driving. Did you ever try to push a chain? You can't push a chain. You pull a chain, right? You go in front of it. You don't go behind it unless somebody's got you hooked to it and they're pulling. So then sheep are led and they will follow. Look at this verse again. The Lord is my shepherd. Do you know what that sheep just said? I'm going to follow. I'm going to follow. If He is my shepherd, then I become a follower. Instantly, I become a follower of the shepherd, if He's my shepherd. By the way, I didn't choose Him to be my shepherd, did I? I'm tearing up a lot of philosophies, not theologies, philosophies. People, a preacher once said to me, said, you've tore up all of my theology. I said, you didn't have any theology. All you had was philosophy. Do you know the difference? Okay, I'm not going to explain it then. Here's the truth of the matter. If the Scripture tears up what you've been saying or what you've been thinking or what you so-called have been believing, then it's not theology, it is philosophy. We're not interested in what man thinks. We're interested in what God has taught us. How many sheep do you know that goes out and finds a shepherd? Not one. I spoke to a shepherd this afternoon on the phone. You know what he said to me? I didn't tell him anything about this. We were just talking about sheep. And he said, I just went and bought me a ram. Said he was, looked like it was going to cost me about $800, but the fellow had mercy on me and let me have it for $200, a registered ram. I thought, well, why didn't that ram just come to you? Let me show you something. Let me show you how all of this garbage falls apart that we've been taught and fed down through the years. That sheep never one time chooses his shepherd. That shepherd always chooses the sheep. It is the shepherd choosing the sheep. The Lord is my shepherd. I don't know about you, but I love that thought. Rah, rah. I could stay there a while. Rah, rah. Glory to God. The Lord is my shepherd. Can you just see this little sheep? He is willing quickly to say to another, the Lord is my shepherd. As if to say, who is your shepherd? The Lord is my shepherd. Rah, rah. I don't know why God's people, so often we're closed-mouthed rather than speaking as we should. The Lord is my shepherd. Are you ashamed that the Lord's your shepherd? This little sheep wasn't. No, no, no. And you're not. You're not either if you realize who the shepherd is. You see, so often we really don't get a glimpse of the shepherd. Even as the sheep of his pasture, often we don't get a real glimpse of the shepherd. But once we get a glimpse of the shepherd and realize this is the Almighty Shepherd, this is the Shepherd of Shepherds. There are three titles given him in the New Testament. He's the Good Shepherd, he's the Great Shepherd, and he's the Chief Shepherd. He's the Good Shepherd in the John chapter 10. He is the Great Shepherd in the Hebrew letter, and he is the Chief Shepherd in 1 Peter. So then, the progression in your Bible, isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful that the Bible is so laid out that he is pictured in that manner as the Good Shepherd, the Great Shepherd, and the Chief Shepherd? You see, you can be a Good Shepherd and not be a Great Shepherd or a Chief Shepherd. But you can't be a Great Shepherd and not be a Chief Shepherd and a Good Shepherd. Do you agree with that? A good shepherd never leaves his sheep for the beast, for the serpents, for the weather, hot or cold, for the robbers. He never leaves the sheep to where they'll be harmed. It's hard for us sometimes to understand why we as sheep go through some of the things we go through that hurt us physically. I'll get into more of that as we move through this. And why many of us will have to suffer in the throes of the valley. My preacher friend that's on his deathbed in Florida, probably I told Ginger he'll be passed by Wednesday in all probability. Passing through the valley, and I hope I'm not getting ahead of myself, or we'll get to this in depth when we get there, but passing through the valley of the shadow of death. If I took a shadow of a .45 and shot my wife tonight, would it hurt her? If the shadow of a serpent bit her, would it hurt her? No. Are you about to get the picture? Catch up. I know sheep are dumb, but you ought to be on this list by now. Huh? All of these things are shadows. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I told him last night, I said, when you get there, shout one time for me. And say, that's on Brother Larry's account. And I told him just to kind of stick around a little bit. It won't be long. We'll be there with him. Walking through the valley. Glory to God, it doesn't say walking in the valley. It says walking through the valley. This shadow, is meaningless because the shepherd's there. The sheep, ignorant though we are, we've got enough sense to follow the shepherd.
Yes.
There is nothing more important where you're concerned than following the shepherd. Just being where he is at the time he needs you to be there. We acknowledge our waywardness. We're bad to go astray, aren't we? All we like sheep have gone astray. Have you ever done that? If you've been in the household of faith very long, you've strayed some. But in this psalm, and I'll not touch on that now, but in this psalm, God has a way of keeping us on the path. We acknowledge our helplessness, and we acknowledge our dependence upon Him. I'd like to say I can do it, but I know I can't. I don't know about you, but I learned by experience that I can't do it. Most of us are hard-headed, aren't we? And we have to learn the hard way. Experience is not necessarily the easiest teacher, but it sure is a good teacher. And we learn by experience often that we can't do it. And we just can't find our way. We must trust in Him. There is nothing greater than you that you can do than follow and trust. And by the way, you're not going to follow if you don't trust Him. I wouldn't want to follow somebody I couldn't trust. Forsaking all, I trust Him. F-A-I-T-H. I trust Him. A lot more I need to say here in chapter 1, or verse 1, but we're going to bring it to a close here. Let me just do this, though, in closing tonight. It also speaks of this peaceful assurance. When I say the Lord is my shepherd, I am assured that He's mine and I'm His. We major often on the fact that He is ours, but maybe we ought to think, too, that we're His. You see, this water runs both directions in this case. He's ours and we're His. We could be His and He could be ours, and we'd never have the truth of this thing brought together if we didn't see both facets. You say, that's awful simple, Brother Lash. Sure it is. Sure it is. But the simple things are the things that we fail to see so often. Like Romans 10:17, we just talked about a while ago. So simple, and yet we overlook the truth of it. Now, you know faith can't come without God, right? Absolutely. So look at this now. Look at here. I'm His and He's mine. I can claim He's mine all day long, but the moment He claims me as His, business picks up. Now the deal is made. Now this thing is consummated. Now the covenant is sure. Now I know I'll be in heaven with Him. Why? Because I'm His.
Yeah.
The Lord, the Almighty Shepherd, is mine. No wonder that little sheep. And by the way, in every other verse in this chapter, it all references back to this reality, the Almighty Shepherd. That Almighty Shepherd supplies everything the sheep needs. Amazing. But the shepherd so loves the sheep that the sheep are constantly cared for, loved, and secure. If we can get the heart of the shepherd out of this psalm, the heart of the sheep will be a lot more pliable when these lessons are over. And God help us to see that. God help us to see the heart of that shepherd. If we see nothing else, to see the heart of that shepherd in the care for His sheep.